Grace to you and peace from God the Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text is written in the 9th chapter of the letter to the Hebrews, beginning at the 24th verse. For Christ has entered not into a sanctuary made with hands, a copy of the true one, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself repeatedly, as the high priest enters the holy place yearly with blood, not his own. For then he would have had to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the age to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for men to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. And I believe he ascended into heaven. That phrase is a part of almost every creed of the church. It is a part of basic, fundamental Christian affirmation. We believe that he was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, crucified, died, buried, risen, and ascended. It is strange that we seemingly are easy to relate to birth, life, suffering, death, even resurrection. But we kind of stumble on what is this ascension all about. For some, the ascension is a kind of coronation feat. I've even heard it expressed that Jesus resumed his deity, if he after all left in the incarnation, must be the logical consequence. Or it's something related to, you know, a three-story universe, and since we don't believe that anymore, how can this possibly have anything to say to us? Or maybe you run across the ascension in long and involved theological arguments to deny the presence of Christ in the sacrament, because after all, his body is up there and cannot be down here. Well, none of that is a very satisfying way of talking about the ascension. But it seems that when we say what it is not, we have difficulty asserting what it is. This is perhaps the reason why many congregations no longer have Ascension Day services. You solve that problem very easily. You don't have to talk about it. Seems to be a habit contracted at Concordia Seminary as well. But what is the ascension all about for our faith and for our life? What does it mean for us in the church, particularly for us who are called or shall be called to proclaim the gospel of a Lord who is risen and ascended? What does that ascension mean for our proclamation? Obviously, you cannot talk about an ascension without a descension. For as Paul reminds us, the one who ascended is also the one who descended into the lowest parts of the earth. The writer to the Hebrews says that he came once to deal with sin. So the ascension has something to do with our great need. The need to have something done about our condition. So you see, long ago, man decided it would be great to be like God, knowing good and evil. And he said then he would really be free. He would be free to be, whatever that means. And he found out he was only free for slavery and death. And there isn't much freedom in that. And you see men embroiled and embraced in the clutches of death. God sent his Son. He came at the close of this age to deal with sin. And to deal with it, he had to offer himself once for all. Not as the high priest who at least yearly had to go in with a great offering, but this he did once when he offered up himself. And the Father accepted the once-for-all offering of the Son and raised him in triumph and glory. And he appeared 40 days among the disciples and was taken out of their sight. He entered into the heavenly sanctuary, the one not made with hands, but into heaven itself. And he entered for us. He entered, the writer says, to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. There is the marvelous and great comfort that you and I derive from the ascension, that our Lord ascended into the presence of his Father on our behalf to plead and intercede for us before the Father's throne, to send forth the Holy Spirit to accompany word and sacrament so that repentance and remission of sin might be proclaimed in his name to the ends of the earth. And for us who are entrusted with that, we know that he intercedes and pleads for us, and that if anyone sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is the propitiation for our sins, and yet not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And for people who know that the Son of God who entered into death and rose triumphant is the very one who now pleads and sends forth on our behalf, we need to be something other than gazers. You see, that was the temptation that faced the apostles on the Mount of Ascension, to become cloud gazers or star gazers, or to keep your eyes upward. It ought to be a kind of devastating rebuke to a church that is always looking at some cloud or something behind it to hear the voice of the angel. Why are you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you will come again in like manner as you have seen him go. And that's the end of cloud gazing for the church. For the church of the past, you shall be my witnesses to the uttermost parts of the earth. And the Lord who ascended in triumph and glory says, lo, I am with you always, to the close of this new age, the age of the proclamation of the good news of forgiveness and remission of sin. And he sends us forth to bear witness to his death and resurrection and his ascension. He sends us forth with the same Holy Spirit that he poured out on the first disciples, with the same power and authority of his word of grace and life, with the same baptism unto the remission of sin, with a comforting and assuring word of holy absolution, and with the body and blood in bread and wine, for forgiveness and strength and life. And he says to us, go and be witnesses. For he who ascended is coming again, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. And I would suggest that it is part of eagerly awaiting to be about the task he has given us, to get our heads out of the clouds and to see people, lives broken with sin under the judgment and condemnation of death, for whom we have the only remedy, the good news of grace in Jesus Christ our Lord. He will come again. We don't know when. We do know why. He is coming to save, to rescue, to deliver finally those who eagerly wait for him. And no generation in the church's history can afford the luxury of asserting that it knows this is the last one. Nor can any generation assume it is not. With heads out of the clouds and viewing those for whom Christ died and rose again and ascended and intercedes and pleads, you and I have work to do. You shall be my witnesses. That is enough to know, and that is enough to do. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.